All of us have made promises we wish we didn't have to keep. Promises made in haste. Promises made without the Lord's counsel. But Joshua shows us what to do once we've made a promise, and that is to keep it. Living with the consequences reminds us not to make future choices without consulting the Lord. Today, more insights on how to handle your bad decisions. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Irwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on getting started right, lessons from the life of Joshua. Join us in Joshua chapter 9 as Dr. Lutzer speaks on let's make the best of a bad decision, a decision made without inquiring of the Lord.
A moment ago I was talking about buying a house, and we've never bought a house that we've regretted, but it's possible for others to do that. I heard of a couple who just absolutely loved this house. This was just their dream home. It was within their price range. It was located in the right place. And just before they signed the papers, someone else beat them to it. You know how that happens. And they were so disappointed. Lord, how can you let this happen to us? And so forth. Well, about 6 months afterwards, they discovered that the basement of that house that they wanted so badly, that one of the walls totally collapsed and just caved in. Boy, were they glad they didn't buy that house. We don't know the future. We don't have enough information at hand to be able to say this is a wise decision. It looks that way. We had better do what Joshua didn't: inquire of the Lord. Why is it that so many Christians make decisions without asking God? I've been around long enough. Once you get at my age, you know human nature enough. I think reason number one is we're a little scared that he's going to say no. In our hearts, we say to ourselves, you know, if I honestly submit this to God, if I really do give it, what if God doesn't give me what I want? I'd better casually say, well, Lord, you know what I'm doing, and so forth, and then just go ahead and do it. You know, that old line, it's easier to get forgiveness than permission. So what you do is you just go ahead and you do it and do your own thing. Bad, bad idea. We are too self-confident. We do not know the future, and we do not know what wise decisions are. They should be submitted to the Lord. So Joshua's painted himself into a corner now. He's made the agreement, the assembly ratified it by an oath. And so what is he going to do? 3 days later, he discovers that he had been tricked. So does he say to himself, well, you know, it doesn't really apply today because, you know, these folks came under false pretenses, da 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 da. No. Notice what happens. 3 days after they made the treaty with the Gibeonites, in verse 16, the Israelites heard that they were neighbors, and the whole ruse falls apart. The whole assembly grumbled against the leaders, and I'm picking it up now at verse 19, but all the leaders answered, we have given them our oath by the Lord, the God of Israel, and we cannot touch them now. This is what we will do to them. We will let them live, notice this, so that the wrath will not fall on us for breaking the oath that we swore to them. Wow. Joshua is saying, you know, this is serious business. We made an agreement that we regret making, and it's going to cost us something. These folks are going to be a thorn in our side, but at the same time, we're not just going to pull out just because it's inconvenient. Psalm 15, verse 4, blessed is he who swears to his own hurt, but does not change. Yeah, you regret it. This was a mistake. But a promise is a promise, and an oath is an oath, and an agreement is an agreement, and so I'm going to hang in as a result of that. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, is there ever a time when it is legitimate to break an oath? Yes. If you make an agreement, say, with the devil, that should be broken. And I'll tell you why. It's because the devil has no right whatever to make any agreement with anyone because he owns nothing. He comes under those kinds of false pretenses. It would be like someone taking my children and selling them into slavery. I'd say, wait a moment, what do you mean you're taking my children and selling them as slavery? You don't own them. There's no basis upon which you have a right to do that. So all agreements with the devil should be broken. Now we get into the thorny question of divorce. Yes, in the Old Testament, God said that men are to love their wives and be married, but because of the hardness of heart, there were some exceptions, and that, of course, is something that is debated today, and it is certainly not my intention to get off onto that difficult subject. But I go back to the letter I read just a moment ago. Here's a man who for 7 years was separated from his wife, received counseling, which he did not accept, marries somebody else, knows that it's a mistake, wants to divorce the second wife so that he can go back and marry the first. And then probably say, you know, I'm doing it for the benefit of my kids, so that the kids have a godly legacy. Hello, excuse me. Anybody at home here? Simple fact is, my friend, on what basis would he divorce his second wife? He didn't keep his first oath. God help him keep his second oath. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 24, it says very clearly that even if there is a woman who comes between in a marriage, the man is not to go back to his previous wife. That is to say, let me be clear about this. If a man divorces his wife and marries another, he is not to go back to that original wife. Even if that second wife should die, God says. No, what you need to do is to stay where you are at and display the grace and the mercy of God in the midst of foolish oaths and decisions. This is what the Bible says. Oh, by the way, there is one other case where an oath can be broken, and that is in the Old Testament, where it says that a father can break the oath of his daughter if she makes a foolish vow. And I think that that still has application today. If you have minor children who are in the home and under your authority and they make a foolish vow, you as a parent can take authority over that and break a foolish vow. But I want you to notice it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verses 4 to 5, it says, "When thou vowest a vow to the Lord, defer not to pay it, because God does not have pleasure in fools. It is much better not to vow than having vowed to break it." God takes oaths seriously. Now, what happened as a result of this? Well, a couple of things. First of all, you'll notice that the Gibeonites now do have an assignment. Verse 21, "Let them live and let them be woodcutters and water carriers for the entire community." You'll notice that Joshua says, "You are under a curse." I'm in verse 23. "You are now under a curse. You will never cease to serve as woodcutters and water carriers for the house of my God." And they go on to say, "We are in your hands." And then I'd like to just conclude here at verse 26. "Joshua saved them from the Israelites, and they did not kill them. That day he made the Gibeonites woodcutters and water carriers for the community and for the altar of the Lord at the place where the Lord would choose." And that is what they are to this day. Centuries go by. Nehemiah comes back from the captivity, and he's rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And in the book of Nehemiah, it speaks about Gibeonites who are there helping. What an interesting story. What does it tell us about bad decisions? Three lessons that can be burned upon your mind, your heart, and even written in the flyleaf of your Bible, if you have enough room to do so. Number one, God does not abandon us when we've made a bad decision. God doesn't abandon us. God didn't say to Joshua, "Well, you know, you've made this bad decision, and so in no way am I going to be with you or guide you or help you." No, as a matter of fact, it is a curse that the Gibeonites were under, but isn't it beautiful that along with a curse there is blessing, that you're going to have these people actually help serve in the temple, eventually the temple here in the wilderness, in the tabernacle, and they are going to be as servants and helping worship happen. That's a marvelous thing. There you can see the grace of God, can't you? Because God does not abandon his people when they make bad decisions. Let's take a better example, maybe even of the principle, or one equally as well. I'm thinking of Kadesh Barnea. The children of Israel come and they see the land and they spy it out, and the spies come back, and all the spies except two say, "We can't go in," and two of them, Caleb and Joshua, say, "Yes, we can," and all the people say, "We're scared, we're not going in." Now, you know what God could have done? The Bible says that God was angry, and says it says in effect that God's anger was kindled against his people. God was really, really upset about their decision. God could have said, "Well, you know, if you want to make your bed, you lie in it. I'm finished with you guys. Just go your own way. After all that, look at that, you disbelieve me." It's not what God does. What does he do? He guides them in the desert. He gives them manna every single morning. He gives them water in the desert. He causes the desert to have springs of water. And then, because they didn't have enough animals from which they'd be able to get enough clothes for those 38 years in the desert, what does he say? He says, "Your clothes did not wear out. You could wear the same coat day in and day out, and it would not get worn. And your sandals did not wear out." God says, "I take care of you in the desert." This is where some people go wrong. They make a bad decision. God blesses them in spite of it. And they say, "Well, you know, maybe this wasn't unscriptural after all." No, not necessarily. It's just the mercy of God. It's just that God does not abandon his people. God says, "I will walk with you through this bad decision. Joshua, I'll be there with you. And these folks are going to be a thorn in your side, but they're also going to be a blessing, and they're going to be a help. They're going to be both." And that's what happens when we make wrong decisions. That's number one. God does not abandon us. Number two, God takes the consequences, and this is a little longer to say, God takes the consequences of our decisions, and that is bad decisions, and uses them and weaves them, that's even a better word, weaves them into his plans and purposes. Yes, my friend, God is there for us. This is Pastor Lutzer. And I can't help but think that I'm talking to somebody today who is experiencing a great deal of entanglement, a great deal of regret because of wrong choices. I've got some good news for you. Never underestimate God's ability to meet you where you are. Despite the past, despite what you've done, God is able to take those who come to him in faith and yieldedness and make something out of the mess that we hand him. So be encouraged. You know, God was there for Joshua, who made a mistake by too quickly accepting the word of these people who came to him. And in the very same way, we've all made bad choices. But God is able to turn our bad choices into something beautiful, into something helpful and beneficial to our spiritual walk. So don't give up. God is there for you.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has brought part two of Let's Make the Best of a Bad Decision, the fifth message in his series, Getting Started Right, Lessons from the Life of Joshua. Tomorrow, more about how God can work even through your bad decisions. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Getting Started Right can be yours as a six-message CD series. The series is our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Don't miss tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.